Okay, the Mishnah says on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, Af Hanoshim She'ein Nemanos Lomer Meis Bala Nemanos Lahavi Eskita. Even though we have a big kula, we're very makel in the standards of Eidos when it comes to what's nicknamed Eidos Isha, which means not Eidos that a woman testifies, but Eidos that a woman's husband dying to be matur or to be married for an aguna, and we allow all the psulim, etc., except for five women. Who are those? Chamosa, Ubas Chamosa, Tarasa, Yivimta, Ubas Ba'ala, her mother-in-law, her sister-in-law, her co-wife, her other kind of sister-in-law, meaning first kind of sister-in-law is her her husband's sister. This kind of sister-in-law is her husband's brother's wife, and her husband's daughter, obviously from a previous marriage. These five women, for reasons they explain in Maseches Yevamos, it's assumed that they really hate her and do not get along with her, and therefore they might try to plot against her. So if they see her husband died, we don't believe them, because maybe there's some nefarious plot going on here, and their husband's alive, and meaning we don't suspect a Stam person, even a person who doesn't meet the standards of Aegis, of lying in order to help the woman. Why don't we suspect a Stam person of lying in order to help the woman? Probably because it wouldn't help her in the end, because if they say her husband's dead and the husband's alive, eventually the husband will show up. But these women, we five women, we suspect them of lying to hurt the woman. Maybe they want to trick her into thinking her husband's dead, she'll be married, and then they know her husband will show up in 6 months, and they'll get their, they'll gloat over it. Nonetheless, they're believed to bring the get, even though one might have suspected the same problem. Maybe they hate her, and they want her to think she's divorced, and they'll bring a fake get, and she'll get remarried, and then they'll say, ha ha, your husband's still alive, and she'll be in trouble. Nonetheless, Bobby, get the Misa. What's the difference? Shek sav mochiach. Because when it comes to Eidos, of that her husband died, there's no corroborating evidence, and therefore we suspect them of a nefarious plot. When it comes to the get, there is a signed get, which is evidence, and therefore we believe them. Okay, ha'isha atma v'yaskito v'ashi tshichlom v'nechtam v'nechtam. A woman can even bring her own get, as long as she says v'nechtam v'nechtam, that'll be next year. V'atanya, going back to the main part of the Mishnah, the Reish of the Mishnah. V'atanya k'shem sh'enem manos lom meis v'ala k'echen manos lo habigita. Oh, the Reish says the opposite, that they're not believed. Amr of Yosef l'kashi kam Yisrael kan v'chutzlaret. Okay, everyone agrees there's a difference between Yisrael and v'chutzlaret. They only argue which direction. Says Rav Yosef, seems to make a lot of sense. In Eretz Yisrael, she doesn't need to say Fanenechlem, Fanenechlem. So we're not actually relying on the ages of these five women. So they're believed. Who cares that we don't trust them? We don't have to trust them. We're not relying on them. But in Chutz Laaretz, where they have to say Fanenechlem, Fanenechlem, we have to accept their ages of Fanenechlem, Fanenechlem, then they are not believed. Says Abayitim Amalei Abayi Adraba Ipcha Mistabra Ba'aretz De I Asibal Ma'arim Mashkechinan Bei De Ikalon Lekukuka Mechabna Lo Mehemna Bechutzlar It's the Asibal Ma'arim Lo Mashkechina Bei Mehemna. Abayi says the opposite. Don't look at formally whether we're relying on their Aegis or not. Look psychologically at whether there's a possibility of a nefarious plot. In Eretz Yisrael, it could be a nefarious plot. Because in Eretz Yisrael, there's no funny Nechtam, funny Nechtam. If we remember the end of the first Mishnah, or, you know, which is most Rishonim have a Daf Tes, that if there's error, then you're Kayim B'chosmav. In Eretz Yisrael, she could mess her up. She'll bring the get, the wife will remarry, and then the husband will come and say, I never wrote the get, and then she'll be in big trouble. So we suspect a nefarious plot. In Chutz Laaretz, there's no suspicion of a nefarious plot. Remember Daf Gimel. If she comes and delivers, say, funny nechtam, funny nechtam, then even if the Baal comes in Ba'arer, the Baal is not believed. The get is believed. The funny nechtam is believed. The funny nechtam is impervious to error. And therefore, there can be no nefarious plots. They can't possibly mess her up. Okay, that is Abayi. Tanya Kvasad Abayi. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Ishan and Menes Lavigita Mikal Bachomer. Uman Noshim Shom Chomein Amanus Lom Beis Baalin Amanus Lavigita, Ishan and Menes Lom Beis Baalin, Dishan and Menes. The Havi Gita, right, connects two parts of the Mishnah. If the five women are not believed that her husband died or believed for a get, then she, who's believed that her husband died, is for sure believed to bring the get. And just like the five women are only believed if they say funny nechtam, funny nechtam, likewise, the each the wife herself is only believed that says funny nechtam, funny nechtam. Okay, that's the proof like Abai. When are the five women believed? When they say funny nechtam, funny nechtam, which is obviously in Chutzlar, it's not in Eretz Yisrael. Amar Vashim Esnisan Ami Daika. The mission is also Madurik that the five women are believed Davkin Chutzlaret, because the five women is segue into the woman herself. The woman herself is clearly in Chutzlaret because she says funny nechtam. So therefore, the five women are also in Chutzlaret. Rav Yosef, Reish v'Seif Chutzlaret Yasa Baret. What's Rav Yosef going to say? He's going to say the Seifa meaning Ha'isha Atzma is Chutzlaret, but yet he thinks the middle, which is the beginning of our mission, which the five women are only in Eretz Yisrael. But yet the previous mission is in Chutz Laaretz. Remember, the Summa, the problem was Chutz Laaretz. So how could it be Chutz Laaretz Eretz Yisrael? Chutz Laaretz? The answer is in Echanami, Reish v'Seif Chutz Laaretz Yasa Ba'aretz, Mimai, why would Rabbi Yosef say such a Dachar Pshat? Yidikotani, Ma Ben Get, Lamisa Shaksav Mochiyach, Lukatani Ksav Apem Mochiyach. Okay, Rabbi Yosef's not crazy, even though he's not Meduyak, in that he puts this part in the mission Eretz Yisrael, when the previous and following lines are in Chutz Laaretz. He does have a little Diyuk in the Mishnah, because it says the Ksav is Mochiyach, not the ksav and the pet, meaning the writing, not the writing and the edus, which implies that no one says funny nechtam, funny nechtam, and it's an Eretz Yisrael. Okay, lemaisa, we paskin like Abaye. Now, let's just try to work out the svaras here. Here we have, right, the chamesh nashim. Here we have Eretz Yisrael. Chutzlaret, Rav Yosef, Abaye. What does Rav Yosef say? Rav Yosef says that they are nemanos in Eretz Yisrael, but not in Chutzlaret. And Abaye says they're not nemanos in Eretz Yisrael, but they are nemanos in Chutzlaret. Why does each one think? Well, how to explain why they're not nemanos? Okay, minastam you start, they're not nemanos. We know from Yevamos we expect those lines. Why does each one think they're neman in their circumstance? So what does Rav Yosef say? Rav Yosef says that they're nemanos in Eretz Yisrael because we are not somech. We're not somech on them. It's not really the nemanos in Eretz Yisrael according to Rav Yosef. They don't have to be nemanos in Eretz Yisrael. They're like automatically nemanos in Eretz Yisrael because they're not doing anything. All they're doing is showing us a piece of paper, but the piece of paper is neman in itself. Looks like a good svara. What's the Abaye saying? Adrav, they're nemanos in Chutz Laaretz. Why are they nemanos in Chutz Laaretz? Because there's no chash of what's the lashon they use of kilkul. There's no chash of kavana lekalkel because she can't get messed up, right? What's the chash? The chash, they want to mess her up. And Chutzlar, they can't mess her up. Adarabah, they're helping her. They're not messing her up because they're saying funny nechtam, and no matter what happens, she'll be free. Simple question is, of course, so why does each Amora disagree with the other Amora? Right? Tosfos already asked this question, right?
But isn't there a question even on that? The whole reason we said he's not Mekalkel is because if the Baal comes in Mamarer, we don't listen to him. Unless he brings proof that it's no good. So
hold on. You're not allowed to say Tosfos' answer, Rebbe. That's not fair. Okay. That's illegal. The question is, what really logically, they should always be nemanos. They should be nemanos in Eretz Yisrael because we're not relying on them. You know, it's an objective get. And they should be nemanos in Chutz Laaretz because even though we are relying on them, they have no incentive to lie. So, yet, everyone has to explain the stewardship to the mission of the Brisa. So how does each Amora parry the other Amora? By passing like a bite, it's very important to understand how he parries Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef also knew how to learn. So how does he parry a bite? So Tosfos already asked this question. What's his response? And Tosfos gives one answer. I've actually only found one answer in Rishonim, even though I thought there was another answer applied. What does Tosfos say back? As Morty said, who said there's no chash kilkel in Chutz Laretz? Abaye said there's no chash kilkel in Chutz Laretz because how could they mess her up? Even if it's a fake get, she'll still be okay. Right? Maybe they'll mess her up in Shamayim, but we know, we remember the Yerushalmi first parable says, no one's chash to mess people up in Shamayim. It doesn't make you feel good to gloat over what'll happen in Shamayim, not to mention the fact that, if you recall from Parshas Matos, if you don't recall, we'll get there in a few weeks. If you make someone do an Avera, then you're the one who gets punished in Shemayim after Rebbe Esther. Okay, but there's no possibility of gloating because the woman will be free forever. So what does Tosu say? Tosu says, no, Rav Yosef is choshesh, there's a small possibility. Little Tosu on the bottom. Rav Yosef started to come akum yichol lakalke b'chutz lor, it's like the Eidim v'rayish lo shalchol again. There is a slight possibility to be makalkel her. And what's a slight possibility? You know, if you plot well, and even if something's a slight possibility, you'll arrange that possibility. Right? If you're a good plotter, then you can arrange the unexpected scenario. They'll bring a get, they'll save funny nechtam, she'll be impervious to error, but impervious to what kind of error? Impervious to error abal. She'll still be open to absolute proof, an absolute proof. Error habal doesn't be funny nechtam. Absolute proof, Ada Mariah does. So what does Rav Yosef suspect these five women of? They're bringing a fake get. And then they'll send two Edim to testify absolutely that it was a fake get. You know, two Edim was thought being forged. Okay, Rabbi said it's unlikely, but could be. Shash, Kavana, Lekalkel, Al Yedei, Edim, Viraya. Okay, it's unlikely, or Yosef suspects it. I thought based on the Rishonim here, okay, we can see all the Rishonim here, there could be another possible way to explain Rav Yosef, even though I haven't found this before, it's in the Mefarshin. But Rishonim bring this up as a kasha against Abaye. So all the Ramban and Beit Midrash, Rashi, etc., bring up as a kasha against Abaye. L'chora, whatever's a kasha against Abaye is a teretz for Rav Yosef. What could be? These five women hate her. Why do these five women hate her? They hate the fact that she's married to this guy. Either the co-wife hates the fact that she has to share her husband, or the daughter hates the fact that this person is stealing all her father's attention and resources, or the mother-in-law hates the fact that she's stealing her son, et cetera, et cetera. and one reaction might be, they want to mess them up and whoop. They want to really mess up their lives. But there could be a much more simple reaction. After all, they don't hate her because of innately who she is, right? They don't hate her. Not current events. They don't hate her because of the color of her skin. They hate her because of a specific situation that she's married to this guy. So what might they be plotting? They may not be plotting to mess her up. Maybe they're just plotting to get her divorced from this guy, and then she'll be out of the family, and then they'll accomplish their goal. After all, the mother-in-law hates the daughter-in-law. Why does she have to make the daughter-in-law suffer? Maybe it's enough just divorce the daughter-in-law and make her go someplace else and never be seen again. So Nirlani is 90, that the Rishonim almost answer this. It's just, ask it as Kasha and Abaye, and say, okay, Abaye's not choshish for this, but it's really for Rav Yosef, right? I'll pee. The Rishonei Sfarad here. Sorry, I don't think I put it on. Makor is very simple. Chashash, Kavana, Lehotzia, Amibesa. You just want to get her out of the house, get her out of the family. So you send her a fake get to get her out of the family. You're not going to mess her up. She'll be free to remarry, but great, she'll marry someone else. She'll be out of your family. That accomplishes the goal. So there are two good ways, technically, two plots you could think of that Rav Yosef was choshesh for that Abaye wasn't. Okay, more interestingly, let's go to the question which none of the Rishonim ask. But I think one of the Rishonim answers. I can't prove it. I can think. What does Abaye say back to Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef says, who cares that we don't believe them? We don't have to believe them. Lava dibur didasam chinan. Right? Who cares that we don't believe them? It's not a matter of believing them. They don't say anything. They just show up with something, and the get proves itself. After all, we're talking about a signed get, obviously. No one's believed to show up without a signed get. Even the most neman person in the world can't show up with an unsigned get. That's just a worthless piece of paper. It's a signed get with two Edim. If the signed get with two Edim, then why aren't these women believed? I know we suspect them of things. We suspect a lot of people of a lot of things. And yet, if you have two Edim, right? Every time I say you owe me money, we suspect me of trying to steal your money. But if I have two Edim, I win. like a star, or if I had a star, I win. So what is Abaye going to answer to Rav Yosef? Here, it's not exactly clear. No one asked this question, but it seems to me the pshat answer to this question, meaning when it comes to the five women by Mises HaBaal, I understand why we don't believe them. There's no Adam, the husband died, except for this one person. It's a big Iguna that Chazal believed one aid when you should need two. Okay, but we're not going to believe someone to testify to something we have no other evidence for if we suspect them of plotting. But I read there's two Adam signed on the Shar, two Adam signed on the Get. We don't need them at all in Eretz Yisrael. So what does he say back to Rabbi Yosef? Kaner'eh, it seems to me that Abaye would have to say back to Rabbi Yosef that we are somech on Eidos of the Shliach LaHalacha, even without the Fanei Nechtam, Fanei Nechtam, meaning we're talking about in Chutz Laretz, right? In Chutz Laretz, we are somech on the Eidos of, you said we're not somech on the Shliach LaHalacha. No, we're always somech on the, or let me say it better. That's a bad, I formulated it wrong. What I meant to say is, we need to be somech on the of every shliach lo'olacha. You think a shliach lo'olacha is not an aid, right? That's what Yosef says. Of course, they're nemanos. Lava di burda kasina, kasam chinan. Shliach lo'olacha is not testifying to anything. A shliach lo'olacha is just doing an action of carrying something and bringing it. No, maybe a bai comes to Mechadish, and we paskin like a bai, so this would be important finish. That really every shliach lo'olacha is an aid. Oh, he doesn't say, or she doesn't say, funny nechtam, funny nechtam. No, every shliach lo'olacha is an aid. Of course, every shliach lo'olacha is an aid. I understand there's no fancy tekes and takana drabanim, funny nechtam, funny nechtam. But think about it. Every shliach lo'olacha shows up. And what does the shliach lo'olacha say? The shliach lo'olacha doesn't show up and just drop a piece of paper on the floor. The shliach lo'olacha shows up and says, here's your get from your husband. Right? This is a get that was sent to you. And the truth is, don't nitpick with me. Even the Shliach Lo'olacha is a mute person, obviously a hearing mute person, and just brings the get and puts it in the hands of the wife and gives like a little wink and nod to show he knows what he's doing, whatever. Nonetheless, that's Eidos. He's implicitly testifying that he was sent by the husband to bring this get to the wife. So maybe Abaye is making a tremendous chiddush. The tremendous chiddush of Abaye is that you think, Rav Yosef thinks a Shliach Lo'olacha is just a Maisa B'Yalma? No, every Shliach Lo'olacha is Meyed. We need the Aegis of the Shliach Lo'olacha. Without the Aegis of the Shliach Lo'olacha, we would have a problem. This is a tremendous Kiddush you're reading Abaye. Obviously, you see where I'm going by now. because now we have to examine, is this true or not? Is it really true that a Shliach Lo'olacha is not what we thought until now? Until now, we thought funny enough, funny enough, it was Eidos. Funny kind of Eidos. Maybe it's not exactly Eidos. We had all the Chakiras in the first paragraph. But a regular Shliach Lo'olacha in Eretz Yisrael, what does that have to do with Eidos? That's Maisa B'Yalma. The Eidos is the people, is the two guys signed on the get, or whatever other Eidim you have. No, every Shliach Lo'olacha is really an Echad who meets being made into something. And therefore, if we suspect him, his Eidos is possible and it's no good. Okay, where am I going with this? So obviously now I'm going back. I changed the order of the Rishonim. Okay, either you'll forgive me or you won't. Hopefully you'll not only forgive me, but you'll agree with me. I'm not Chas V'Shalom having any tainas against the Rishonim. The Rishonim were L'shitasam. What did the Rishonim do? The Rishonim discussed two issues which were brought up by earlier poskim. Number one, can a Rasha deliver the get? Number two, can a Goy deliver the get? Where did the Rishonim discuss this issue? They discuss it on the Mishnah and Daf Chaf Gimel. On Daf Chaf Gimel and Aleph, where it says, HaKol K'sherim L'Havi Zaget. Okay, HaKol seems to imply, even a Rasha, seems to imply, okay, whatever, we'll get to it. But clearly, HaKol K'sherim L'Havi Zaget is where you should discuss it. I put on the Makor Sheet here because I obviously want to suggest a pshat in the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Let's start with the Rambam. Mechudish Rambam. What's Mechudish about this Rambam? No one else in the world agrees with this Rambam. Okay, I'm exaggerating. None of the mainstream famous Rishonim that we know of agree with this Rambam. What does the Rambam say? What does the Rambam say in Perek Vav, Halacha Zayin, which is the introduction to Shlichos of the Get? And keep in mind, it's very important to know the structure of the Rambam himself as Gerushin. Where is Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechtam introduced into the Rambam Hilchas Gerushin?
Perek Zayin.
Perek Zayin, exactly. Perek Zayin, already we have Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz and Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechtam, etc. Where is Shlichos introduced into the Rambam?
In Perek Vav.
Perek Vav. Meaning Perek Vav is Shlichos on the basic Doraisa level before any Takanas, before it's Shalom for Chutz, so it's just Shlichos. And then in Perek Zayin, you get Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechta, meaning whatever it says in Perek Vav is not because of Chutz La'aretz, it's not because of Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechta, it's just because of Shlichos. Right? So you're not allowed to say that when the Rambam says something in Perek Vav, it's because of Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechta, because that hasn't been introduced yet. Perek Vav is in Eretz Yisrael, is in Chutz La'aretz before the rabbis made their Takana. You know, it was on the most basic, not necessarily Doraisa, but pre-Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechta level. So what does he say? He says, well, Nashim HaKrovim Sheirim, Nashim HaKrovim are be a shliach, even though what? Even though they're Pasul Eidus, right? Already interesting, right? The Gemara never says Noshim and Krovim are kosher to be a shliach laholacha. The Gemara never says Noshim and Krovim are kosher. Why? Because maybe it doesn't have to say, maybe it's obvious. Why shouldn't they be able to be? A woman can't be a shliach, a vada woman can be a shliach. A karv can't be a shliach, a vada karv can be a shliach. The Rambam has to tell us Noshim and Krovim are kosher. Okay, that in of itself would be innocent enough. And then he says, "Afilu p'sul midirei sof from avir k'shirim l'shuch zeget." Even someone who's pasul midrabbanan, now Russia drabbanan, is kashal l'shuch zeget. Why does he aval p'sul avir midirei Torah p'sulam l'havas zeget? But someone who's a Russia midaraisa is pasul avas zeget. Where does the Rambam get this chiluk between Russia daraisa and Russia drabbanan from? Obviously not from Dine Mamanos and Dine Malkus and Dine Misa, etc. In regular Eidos, Apostle D'Oraisa is Apostle and Apostle D'Rabbanan is Apostle. That's what it means to be Apostle. Apostle is Apostle. Who cares why you're Apostle? Where does he get Mefurish and Shas, the chilik between someone who's a Rosh D'Oraisa and Rosh D'Rabbanan from? Where in Shas do they mash, they say Akash D'Rabbanan is okay in this case. But Rosh Hashanah is okay in this case, but a Rosh Hashanah is not. Like, for example, a gambler, Misach Mekubi, is only possibly Drabanan, would be kosher. But a Goslin Mamish who goes and pickpockets people and mugs them, etc., and robs banks, is puzzle. So the Gemara says in Mefurish, in Misach Yevamos, about Eidos Isha. About Eidos Isha. The Gemara says Mefurish, a Rosh Hashanah is kosher to be made to Matar Naguna. They were Mekel, like Krovim, and like Nashim, and like Avadim, and like APPA'd, etc. But a Rosh Hashanah is not Neman. I mean, even though they're making Misham Egon to believe all kinds of inferior Eidos, whether it's inferior for formal reasons or for practical reasons, to be Matur and Gunna and testify the husband died, there's a limit. The limit is a slightly dishonest person they'll believe, but a Mamish thief they won't. So the Rambam took that, having no precedent whatsoever, took that over from Eidos Isha, and applied it to Shliach LaHolacha. I shouldn't say no precedent whatsoever. Our Mishnah already connects Eidos Isha with Halacha Saget, although, of course, our Mishnah contrasts them. But he was inspired by our Mishnah to somehow take the standards of Eidos from there and bring them over here. Now, what do the Rishonim say? All the Rishonim say, like the Rush says this very nicely here, they say, you know what? The Rambam's idea of borrowing standards from Yevamos and applying them here is a good idea. For what? For Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechtam. As a matter of fact, that's what the Rambam says in Pirush Mishnayis. The Rambam changed his mind about this. When he wrote the Pirush Mishnayis, he agreed with the other Rishonim. What did he say in the Pirush Mishnayis? Right here on the previous Mishnah. What did he say in the Pirush Mishnayis? Says the Rambam. In the Pirush HaMishnah, he says, a Rasha Drabanan. By the way, Rasha Drabanan is not a real phrase. The phrase is Pasul Machmas Avera Drabanan. I'm just shortening the Rasha Drabanan. A Rasha Mi Drabanan is kosher. A Rasha Mi Da Araisa is Pasul for what? What does he borrow in the parish of Mishnayos? And the rest start the same way. And most Rishonim sound this way here. What is Hasel Leha'id B'fanei Nechta B'fanei Nechtam? That makes perfect sense. B'fanei Nechta B'fanei Nechtam Yishamiguna. We lower the stands of Eidos. Just like we lower the stands of Eidos Yishamiguna. But even low still has some standards. There's a limit to how low you can go. Right? And the Rishonim D'oraisa, that's too far. We can't be machshir. Okay, that makes perfect sense. I doubt anyone would argue on that. I know it doesn't say explicitly in the Gemara that's the rule of funny nechtam, funny nechtam, but it makes perfect sense. Funny nechtam, funny nechtam. And Eidos Isha are so super duper parallel. They're both Mishumi Gunna to let the woman remarry. They're both special to Kamis to Rabbanah to Machshre Nechtam, where you would normally need two Eidim. And we have precedent that both of them, they're Machshre women and Krovin and Baldavar. So it makes sense that if in one it says we're Machshre or Rasha, me to Rabbanah, not a Rasha Daraisa, so too in the other. This is not controversial. Rambam and Sha'ar Rishonim all agree to this. But what's the chiddush of the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah? He says, nothing to do with Funny Nechtam, Funny Nechtam. Remember, we're not in Funny Nechtam, Funny Nechtam land. That's Perek Zion. He says, even without B'Funny Nechtam, B'Funny Nechtam, a Rasha Mida Oraisa is puzzle le halachas haget. It's puzzle to bring the get. Where does the Rambam, and what do the Rishonim jump down the Rambam's throat and say here? The Rishonim jump down the Rambam's throat like the Ravid here. Okay, I have to see if his lashon. What's his lashon? He says, "V'im neskaim get mechosva v'lahutzachlom funny nechta funny nechtam lama imhevio puzzle." What's the problem? What's the problem? Right? The Rush says it very nicely. The Rush says he's not being made in anything. So, how do we defend the Rambam? What's the kasha on the Rambam? I'm not explaining the Rambam fully yet. I'm just showing the segue here. What's the kasha on the Rambam? The kasha on the Rambam is who's being made in anything? He's just bringing the get. What's he being made? So what's the answer? The answer is, I think the Rambam asked our question that we had on the other side of the board. No one talks about this. But it's obvious to me, where did the Rambam get the idea that every Shlich Lalach is an eight? Right? Why? Because every Shlich Lalach, even their Joe, that funny Nechtam, is really an eight. How did the Rambam know that every Shliach Lacha is an aid? I'm certain, I'll bet you any amount of money, that, even though I have no mucker for this, that he got it from Abaye. He just read the Gemara and he says, Taka, Abaye has a good point. What's Rav Yosef going to answer? Oh, okay, fine. Rav Yosef, Taka has a good point. What's Abaye going to answer? We pass like Abaye. Says it must be that Abaye answers that Shliach Lacha is really hidden implicit eidos, even though it doesn't look like it. Every Shliach Lacha is really eidos. So if every Shliach Lach is really Eidos, then I'll take what we say about Eidos Ishan Yivamos, which I already applied when I was younger and when I was a teenager and wrote the Parish of Mishnayos. To Funny Nechta, Funny Nechta. And I'll apply to Shliach Lach as well, because I'm a dyke from Abaye, that every Shliach Lach is an Eid. Okay, this is, now we still have to get into the Lumdus, but I just think this is, you know, I feel very strongly about this point. There's a Rambam. Whatever we say for the Lumdus, we'll try and explain the Lumdus of the Rambam. But the Lumdus of the Rambam isn't obvious. You can explain the Lumdus of the Rambam, but it's not obvious. So why did he come to this in the first place? Nirlan Yisdaiti, he came to this in the first place because he had to explain Abaye. Okay, now let's get into
isn't this what you can see from later on when there's this whole business about there's two parts to the A.D. Halacha. One, that he's David, and the second, that the Baal made him an aid. And that is.
I made him a shliach.
Made him a shliach.
But Morty, but it doesn't say that anywhere in the Gemara. Oh, how did the Rambam know that Svara? So that's what I'm claiming, that the Rambam knew that Svara because of Abaye. You're right. It just doesn't say that anywhere in the Gemara. And I'll come back to that. I'll make another point soon. Now let's just ask a simple question. If we put together Abaye and the Rambam and we ask ourselves, so what taka is the Shliach Halacha made about? What is the Shliach Halacha made about? What is it this that's so important the Shliach Halacha to be made about? So, but what is the Shliach LaHolacha made about? After all, remember, he doesn't look like an aid. We don't have a ritual of aidus, right? What is he made about? What don't we know that we need him to be made about? So, there are two possibilities, which both of which come out of our reading the Rambam. So what is the Shliach LaHolacha made about? So what does Morty suggest? Morty suggests, what is Shliach LaHolacha made about? That he was appointed a Shliach.
He was appointed, yeah.
Exactly. Meaning, the get says the husband wanted to divorce his wife. How do we know he was appointed a Shliach? So one possibility is the Minoy Shlichos. The get might imply the Minoy Shlichos. After all, if the husband didn't make him a Shliach, why would he be holding the get? But there's no explicit Eidos on the Minoy Shlichos. And if there's no explicit Eidos on the Minoy Shlichos, then the Shliach has to be made about that. Okay, any other possibilities? Not yet, fine.
The Rabbah says, Exera.
The what? Correct, but just say it more pointedly. That the Baal wrote the get, right? Right? Is that, what does it mean the Baal wrote the get? Meaning the Edom are made that the Baal wrote the get, right?
The get is kosher.
Exactly, the kosher is a get, meaning obviously the two Edom are made that the get is kosher. But who said the two Edom really signed it? Right? This is the kashrus of the chasimos of the get. Kashrus ha-chasimos. Okay, which of these is the issue in the Rambam? So we're not sure. We have to try to figure out in the Rambam which of these two things is the issue.
You can assume the second thing that you know, kashrus ha-chasimos, not be assuming like the kind of like the Eidu-Nadashtar kind of be made in itself, be any external testimony.
Correct, or at the very least chipping away at it somehow. Right. Correct. So now let's get into the details. How many chidushin does the Rambam make? Let's go back to the Rambam and see how this works. How many chidushin does the Rambam make here? Says the Rambam, two chidushin. What are the two chidushin? All right, two piskei halacha, each of which are mechodesh. Meaning, I don't mean I'm a dai conceptually two chidushin. He says two different halachos. One is, din heviu hariz epasol, if he brings the get, even if there's kinum for the signatures, which implies that we have no doubt about the signatures, nonetheless, so what are the two chidush of the Rambam? Aleph, says the Rambam, if it's a get mekoyam, then it's possible midrabanan. Possible, the Rambam says, always means possible midrabanan. Even if it's a get mekoyam, it's possible midrabanan. That the Rambam says, aval, but imlo nismach bo el al divrei psul ba'aver min haTorah eino get. If it's not mekoyim and we're only relying to authenticate the signatures on this guy who's possibly shemaver min haTorah, right? He doesn't mean anyone's possibly min haTorah. He means like, that's a card. If he means some possibly shemaver min haTorah, right? Because of chash sheker min haTorah. So what if it's eino mekoyim?
What?
It eino get. Which means, like in the Lashon we would use, is batal min haTorah, right? Batal midoraisa. Generally, batal or eino get means, here he says, eino get means doraisa, pasul means rabbanan. It's a very strict rule for the Rambam. That's the chiluk of the Rambam. If the get is mekoyim, then it's pasul midrabbanan. If the get is eino mekoyim, then it is batal midoraisa. Let us just ask why. Why, if it's Eino Mekoyim, is a Batal Midoraisa? And again, here it's a little tricky. Some of the Rishonim I put in brackets are very confusing because they start quoting this Rambam and talking about Fani Nechta, Fani Nechta. But this Rambam's not talking about Fani Nechta, Fani Nechta. He's not talking about Chutz Laretz. Before that's a Fani. Why? So that's obviously Svara B. Because of B, as the Rambam says. It's not Mekoyim, I'll read it again. Aval. It's only this kai b'chosma, alone is well divrei possible by verim in haTorah. But if it's not mekoyim, you're only relying on this Russia guy. What does that mean? That means if it gets not mekoyim, who are you relying on to say that your signature is authentic? You're relying on the shliach lo halacha because of B, right? The shliach lo'olacha, if there's no kiyam, then you need the shliach lo'olacha to be meyed that the signatures are authentic. If there's kiyam, that's it. If there's no kiyam, then midrabanan, of course. Midrabanan. No, not midrabanan. This part is the oraisa. What am I saying? Then midah oraisa. Midah oraisa. We need the molech to be meyed that the kiyamos are authentic. I don't mean he gets up and says, I testify this, I testify that. I mean implicitly, by saying I'm a shliach to bring this gift from the husband, he is implicitly testifying that these signatures are authentic and it's not a forged gift. Because he's saying, I'm not bringing you a forged gift. I'm bringing you a real get. Okay, that is the second part of the Rambam. Obviously, what's the kasha against the second part of the Rambam? What principle is the kasha against this?
Hume starves, only with your Rambam.
Right, but say the principle that you're about to say if you were finishing that paragraph. Why is Hume starves only with Rambam? Because Reish Lakish said. And remember, so how can it be possible with the Raisa? So what's the Kasha? The question is that, after all, Mida Araisa, Eidim Hachasumin Al Hashtar Vichule. Right? Mida Araisa, we all know Kiyum Sharas Rabbanan. Okay, before we come back to that, let's talk about the first part in the Rasa. Even if the get is mekuyim, there's clearly no chash that the signatures are authentic. The get is mekuyim. So why is there midrabanan? What's the problem midrabanan? What's the problem midrabanan if the get is mekuyim? What are the two opinions here as to what the problem is midrabanan if the get is mekuyim? After all, the get is mekuyim. You can't say you have any doubt of the signatures. You have kiyum sharas. So why did the Rabbanan passel it if a Russia brings the get? You can't say we think the signatures are forged. It's Kiyum Shtaros. Kiyum Shtaros always works. So what's the problem? So, Isaac and the Mishnah Melech, they're two pshatim. There's the Mishnah Melech. It's funny, he quotes a Rush, which doesn't actually say what he quotes the Rush is saying, or what it sounds like he's saying the Rush is saying. There's a Rush. It's funny, like some achronim did make this chumra lahalacha, and then they quote as if it's a rush. Ah, shliach always needs to prove, he needs to bring a star to prove he was appointed to shliach. Who never said that? The rush didn't say it. However, what did the rush do? He brought up the question of how do we know this guy was appointed to shliach? And in the Mishnah on Perek Rishon, funny nech, but how do we know he's appointed to shliach? As well, just like the Rabbanim were mam in him, that the signatures are authentic, they're also mom and him, they're used appointed for shliach. Okay, that at least brings up the idea that you need some evidence that he was appointed for shliach. Okay, so says the Mishnah Melech, there's Isaac, because of problem A. Meaning, according to the Mishnah Melech, the Rambam had both possibilities in Avaye. The Rambam said, every shliach laholacha needs to be made that he was appointed. Otherwise, we don't believe he was appointed. And that's only Rabbanan. And every shliach la'alacha needs to be made that the shtar is authentic, the signatures are authentic, and if not, we think it's forged, and that's midoraisa. Mm-hmm. So, because this is only shas Rabbanan. Why is it only shas Rabbanan? Because really, he's bringing a get with of Mekoyim signatures. Think about it. If the signatures are Mekoyim, the husband must have written this get, because the signatures are true, they're Mekoyim. If the husband must have written this get, how did it get into the hands of this guy? It must be the husband gave it to him. If the husband gave it to him, why would the husband give it to him if he didn't believe that he would do what he said to do with it? That's called pending, right? So it must be midoraisa. We rely on the fact that how did the husband give him this get, if not for the fact the husband relied on him to fulfill orders? So we rely on midoraisa that first lalacha. But midrabanan, we need proof because of A, Mida Oraisa, the Chasimos prove the Minui Shlichos. Unlike the Russia discussion where we didn't have Kiyum, the Chasimos prove the Minui Shlichos because if it's authentic get, then it was in the hands of the husband. How did it get to the hands of this guy? Must be the husband gave it to him. The husband gave it to him. He's a shliach. But midrabanan, after all, maybe the husband just gave it to him, said, hold on to this while I go to the bathroom. And then he ran and claimed to be a shliach. Maybe it dropped out of the husband's pocket and he found it on the street and was a shliach. Those are unlikely scenarios. Not to mention back during Baruch Hayim, the shliach would make us not suspect those scenarios. But midrabanan, no, you need eidos. You need a small eidos. You need eidos. You need a low-level eidos, right? You need eidos kolshu. You need eidos kolshu on the minu shlichus. What are the eidos kolshu? It's okay if a karov says on the shliach. It's okay if a isha says she's the shliach. It's okay if a baldomer says they're the shliach. It's okay if a it's okay according to the Rimi Gashman Emmet says he's a shliach. It's okay if his ABP 8 says he's a shliach. You know, one shliach got it from another shliach. It's okay if a Mesach Mekubya says he's a shliach, even though we draw a button and we suspect his honesty. But you need some eidos. An eidos of a Gazlan Mamish is zero, and that's not good enough. That is the...
That's what the Pnei Yeshua says, right?
And that's what the Pnei Yeshua says as well. The Pnei Yeshua and the Mishnah Melech agree. The difference in the Pnei Yeshua and the Mishnah Melech is just that the Mishnah Melech ignores the sugya later on in the sixth parak, which discusses exactly how we know why the husband gave it to him. The Pnei Yeshua goes through that sugya and explains how to fit into each day in the parish of that sugya, but it's the same there. Correct. Who is on the, who but, has it?
Can we ask another question? Yes. Why don't we listen to a Rasha? Is it because of a technical thing? Or, you know, that we believe the guy in this case, but technically he's a Rasha. Or we don't believe him if he's a Rasha. If we don't believe him, that he was a Rasha. There's all other kinds of fakers. We already had before in the beginning of the in the Gemara about somebody bringing a get. He picked up this get and he's giving it to the wrong lady. This white guy had two wives, or he had this or that. All kinds of shtick that we do worry about.
No, so Morty, I think the pashup shot of basically the very strong mainstream, and clearly what's going on here, is that it's not a technicality. It's not a formal technicality. It's that we mamish don't believe. We mamish think he's a big fat liar. Awesome. When he says, when your mommy thinks he's a liar, why don't we worry about all other weird things that can happen? The answer is all those other things are very weird. And the Rabbanim were, and I know the Gemara, the Rishonim bring a Havaminas, and the Gemara might even discuss, depending on how you read it, the case in the Gemara, weird scenarios. It could be that the Rabbanim, in some cases in Chutzlaretz, were choshish for weird scenarios because of the ignorance of Chutzlaretz. But Morty, you'll agree with me, I'll be common sense. In a Stam case, we assume we're not choshish for weird far out scenarios, unless we have a specific reason that we know someone was betaken to be choshish. So the answer is, why are we not choshish for all the other weird things? Because those are just too weird. We can't be choshish for every weird thing. As opposed to someone not being a shliach, even though midoraisa we're sure he's a shliach, because what are the odds the husband gave him a get if he's not a shliach? But at least that's something which is not so weird. That's less weird than the, you know, there's two guys with the same name, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, now, especially taking into account Morty, the Gemara already discusses the idea of two people with the same name, meaning Taka we're machshir only when we have no evidence there are two people with the same name. So then it would be highly unlikely. Okay, the Radvaz says a different approach. Says the Shut Radvaz, he says no. He denies the Rambam has two problems, two things he needs a shliach to testify about. He holds the Rambam only has one thing he needs a shliach to testify about, which is the authenticity of the chasimos. So, if it's Mekoyim, what's the problem? So, here the Radvaz gives a very technical answer. What's his technical answer? He says, indirectly, because of B. Meaning, you can't say that it's puzzle because the shliach doesn't testify that the signatures are authentic. We have Kiyom. That's better than anything to testify the shliach is authentic. But indirectly, what do I mean by indirectly? That the Radvaz says, Zera, it's the Rabbanan. Zera Makoyam, Atu, Eino Makoyam. Okay. After all, it's only Rabbanan. Rabbanan, you don't have to say is a real reason. You could just say it might be confused because it looks like a different case. He says there's no reason. It's a fundamental machlokas in how to read this Rama. According to the B'nai Yeshua Mishnah Melech, no, meaning there's two types of Xeris to Rabbanan. One type, in general, in all of Shas, there's two types of Xeris to Rabbanan. I mean, maybe this. Okay. I'm willing to stand by my formulation. even though, you know, it's subtle. One time Xera Drabanan is midoraisa, it's unlikely to be treif. You know, like Gvinas Akum. What's the Xera Drabanan Gvinas Akum? Midoraisa, it's unlikely to have to, it's unlikely to be treif. The odds are it's not treif. However, there's a minority possibility it might be treif. So Rabbanan or goes there to be machmer and choshish for the minority. It's 15% likely to be treif. Midoraisa, it's 85% kosher. You can eat Gvinas Akum. Midrabanan, they said, no. Since it's 15% of the time it might be treif, be careful. Or like demai or something. That, the other type of Xera Drabanan that we think of more when we think of Xera, is that there's 0% chance it's treif. It just might be confused, like chicken and milk. Chicken and milk, there's 0% chance it's treif. We know the chicken's a chicken. There's 0% chance that the chicken was a cow in disguise. But if you eat chicken and milk, next time you might come to eat meat and milk. Two different types of Xeras, either choshesh for a miyot scenario, or gozer on something that's for sure mutter, but could lead you next time to be confused and do something usher. That's machlokas. Peir Shua Mishlo Melech says, what's the chashas Rabbanan that you weren't appointed a shliach? Midoraisa, 90% likely you were appointed a shliach. How are you holding this get if you weren't a shliach? Midoraisa, they're choshesh for the slight possibility that you're not appointed a shliach. That's choshesh for a miyot possibility of an isur daraisa. For the Radvaz, no, there's 0% chance it's really puzzle. We are not choshish at all in the Minu Shlichos. We are 100% sure you were Shlichos. Rather, why were they gozer? Because this time it's a get Mekoyim, and if we let this thief bring a get Mekoyim this time, someone might make a mistake, and next week let a thief bring a get She'enu Mekoyim, which would be a problem. Okay, so that's the Machlokas in the Reisha of the Rambam. Now let's just go to the Seif of the Rambam. So the Reisha of the Rambam, in any case, is not the biggest conceptual chiddush ever since Sheishish Mei Bereishis, because it's only Drabbanan. Either way, it's only Drabbanan. You know, and to say me Drabbanan, we're choshish this, choshish that, it always could be. Right? I mean, if one Rishon says me Drabbanan, they're choshish X, Y, and Z. And someone else says me Drabbanan, they're not choshish X, Y, and Z. The Seder, everyone's okay. You know, it could be something they worried about, or it could be something they decided not to worry about. So the Rambam holds they worried about. The safe for the Rambam, what we call bet, is of course a much bigger chiddush, because here it's on a Doraisa level, and it's going against the rule of Eidim Chasumna Star Kamish Mechari Dusim Bezdin Dami and Kiyum Shtoris Drabanan that we saw in Daf Gimel in Reish Lakish. And keep in mind, specifically in the realm of Gittin, Reish Lakish was talking about Gittin. He was talking about a Get She'inu Mekoyim, and he says, Midoraisa, you need zero Eidos on it. Because it's Eidim Chasumna Star Kamish Mechari Dusim Bezdin Dami. Okay, so if midoraisa, you don't need eidos, what's the problem, doraisa? The answer, says the Beis Shmuel, the answer has to be the Rambam's Lishitase. Just, there are two deos in the Beis Shmuel, and I think ultimately these two deos in the Beis Shmuel, I mean, you could fine-tune them. But these are the two drachim to explain the Rambam. The two deos in the Beis Shmuel are the two ways to explain the Rambam. It has to be Lishitase of some weird shita. The question is, which weird shita, which sort of shitas yachid almost to the Rambam? The Rambam has two shitas, they're almost shitas yachid. Which of these two weird shitas is he l'shitase? So, what are the two answers of the Beis Shmuel? Right? It says the Beis Shmuel, it's the Rambam l'shitase who already has a chiddush that limits the daraisa power of shtaros. The Rambam here is possibly a star d'oraisa without an eid echad that it's authentic. He must be l'shitase. L'shitase where? So here you have two possibilities, right? His first shot and his second shot. His first shot is, what's his first shot? First shot of Beis Shmuel, the Rambam's l'shitase of which famous shita? Exactly. The Rambam famously holds, remember everyone asked me, how can you trust the Shtar to be Piksavam? And we have many answers. Very many. Tom holds that there's really no Psul of Mipiksavam. It just means to passel someone who doesn't have the possibility of oral testimony, who is a mute. And most Rishonim said, because it's a special chiddush of shtar. Mipik Savam is puzzle, but shtar is a special chiddush. It's Asam Eschayiv. As the Balamor says, that's Mipik Savo, not Mipik Savam. And what did the Rambam say? The Rambam says, Taka, you're right. Shtaros are only a Takana Drabanan, I guess, because of, you know, a Takana Sashok, whatever it may be. Says the Rambam, Lishitase, De, Eido Shtar is kosher only midrabanan, and as the Ketzov said, if it's only kosher midrabanan, how do we rely on it for get to be matar and ashes ish? Because the principle of, if it's only kosher eidos midrabanan, how can we be matar woman to remarry based on it? The principle of kinei rabbanan kedushin minei, right? Is only midrabanan, and then you have to add the lo tiknu nemanus shtar pecha dehuva al yedei rasha. Okay, I must admit this is not my favorite pshat. He says the Rambam l'shitas that each shtar is only rabbanan, and really the raisa every shtar is pasul. It's only rabbanan a shtar is kosher, and therefore, but by the way, sorry, let me take a step back. The Raivan and the Magen Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah all ask kashas on this sheet for the Rambam, but they don't ask the good kasha. They ask, how can you say she's not divorced? After all, maybe someone will show up in the kind of star and blame her, so she will be divorced. And then basically everyone answers, yeah, that's what the Rambam meant. The Rambam meant she's not divorced unless you bring evidence of Kiyum stars. That's a very technical question. How can the Rambam say she's not divorced if there's no Kiyum? What if there is Kiyum and that changes the story? I'm asking the better question, the more interesting question. I'm not the first, right? The Shmuel says the more interesting question. Forget about the nitpicking details. Is it that she's not divorced or she's not divorced and no proven otherwise? Who cares? We all use our common sense. The Kesef Mishnah says the Rambam relied on common sense. When he says you're not divorced, it means you're not divorced unless you bring Kiyum someday. And what should she do meanwhile? She should probably be careful to take into account all the scenarios. Right, but I mean, the Shmuel has a more fundamental question. Why would you sold Doraisa if me Doraisa, we trust signatures? One answer is not me Doraisa, we trust signatures. It's only me Rabbanan, we trust signatures. And the Rabbanan were only me talking to trust signatures when you sent the shtar in the way they wanted you to, which is with an honest person. If you sent the shtar with a dishonest person, which is against the Ritzon Chachamim, if you have the chutzpah to violate the Ritzon Chachamim and send the shtar with a dishonest person, then the Rabbanan didn't make their takana for people like you, and they left it as a psalm, a piyam lo gitzavam, in which case what we're basically saying is it's puzzle. Pasol midaraisa mishum mipihem velo mipiksavam. Okay, this is obviously assuming like which achron against which achron in the sheet of the Rambam?
Against Rav.
Like the Ketzos against Rav Chaim, right? Remember the question that everyone asked. The question that everyone asked was, how could, and the Sivas is really like Rav Chaim also. The question that everyone asked is, how could the Rambam say Mipiyam Velo Mipik Savam, and that Shtar is only Kasher Midrabanan? If a Shtar is only Midrabanan, I understand how it works for collecting a loan. Hefker Bez and Hefker, how does it work for Matring and Ashes Ish to remarry? The Ketzos' answer was, Afkin Rolam Kedushim Yidei. And Rav Chaim's answer was, no, when the Rambam says Shtar is Midrabanan, he meant Shtari Raya. But again, it's a Shtar King and a Shtari King and a Doraisa. Okay, so this is obviously like the Ketzos against Rav Chaim Beseder. The Beis Shmuel is allowed to anachronistically hold like the Ketzos against Rav Chaim Beseder. However, what's his second answer? His second answer is the Rambam's a different Lishitase. Where am I going to put his second answer? We have a little real estate. I have a tiny bit of real estate, right? What's his second answer? His second answer is, let's put a secret passage. Here is our secret passage.
Portal.
A portal, thank you. We'll put a portal. When I grew up, though, we played Clue. And wasn't there a secret passage? Isn't that what it was called in Clue growing up? Am I the only one who played Clue growing up?
So.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, the secret passage. Portal is probably from some more modern thing. Oh. It sounds sci-fi.
Is the Beit Shmuel's kasha only on the Rambam?
the Beit Miltash is on the Rambam, and likewise on anyone who agrees with the Rambam and only nitpicks his formulation, like they're even the Ravid. What are the Ravid? The Ravid doesn't say it. What?
Other Shana Mar.
Here you're exposing my Achilles heel here, which is who agrees with the Rambam, who disagrees with the Rambam. In Aleph, all Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. All the Rishonim disagree. I haven't met one Rishon who agrees. I'm sure there's someone obscure someplace, whatever. You know, maybe there's Rav Yonasan Milunil. But none of the Rishonim that we talk about all the time agree with the Rambam. In Bet, it's a little tricky. Shmuel saying, is it really only the Rambam? After all, the Ravid doesn't say, I disagree fundamentally with you. He just nitpicks. He says, well, yeah, it sounds like a reasonable idea, but what if someone comes tomorrow and is Mekayim it? Don't you always have to allow for potential scenarios? But it sounds like fundamentally he agrees. The Rashba and the Ran end up quoting the Ravid and say, what if someone comes tomorrow and is Mekayim it? And sound like they fundamentally agree, even though when they start talking, they don't make it sound like they fundamentally agree. The Rush, I think, is the only person who fundamentally disagrees with the Rambam because he does not quote the Ravid Lashon, and he says it's only a problem for them to say funny Nechtam. Otherwise, there's no problem. So, okay, at least the Rush disagrees with the Rambam. Some of the Rishonim, it's a little tricky. Like, they only nitpick the Rambam technically, although they never explain why they like the basics for the Rambam. But you're right. Okay, the Rambam and others. Here the Rambam and others, because everyone else only nitpicks the Rambam, which seems to imply they agree with him fundamentally. But what is the Beit Shmuel's second answer? He says the Rambam's Lashitase in, and we discussed this, was, I think, the last year before the first Bechina, if I'm not mistaken, in Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis. Now, again, depends how you understand the Rambam Perek Zayin Halacha Beis. We spent a whole year on that. What does the Rambam say in Perek Zayin Halacha Beis? He says, right, this is the unique Shitas almost Yachid, of which two Rishonim were the only Rishonim who held the Shita of the Rambam Zayin Beis. Well, let me tell you what he says. He says that if the Baal's Me'arer in Eretz Yisrael, the get is Pasol Midoraisa. That was only the Shita of the Rambam and Rabbeinu Avigdor against the other Rishonim. And even the Rambam, the Nesiva, says that's not what the Rambam meant. But let's assume it is what the Rambam meant for now. Against the Nesivas, you want to go back, look at the last year, the last year before the first Bechina, you'll see the Nesivas. But if we assume the Rambam held agreement with Victor, so then he says, Lishitase, Lekamon, Perek Zayin, Halacha Bet, Dimashma, Disavar, Her Rabbeinu Avigdor, Ibn Makom, Error, Haget Batel, Min HaTorah. Ibn Makom, Error, the get is Batel, Min HaTorah. So everyone asked on the Rambam, how could the Rambam say Ibn Makom, and the Rabbeinu Avigdor say Ibn Makom, Error, the get is Batel, Min HaTorah? After all, Midoraisa, even if someone asked Mishnah, we just invested in Kim Sturz, only Drabanan. And the Beit Shmuel actually tried his first way there also. He says, well, maybe really it's not that it's Batel Min HaTorah, that it's always Batel Min HaTorah, unless they're under Mitakin to make it work for Afkinu, and they weren't Mitakin Afkinu if there's error. Okay, that's a chiddush. The simple shot is the Rambam has a weaker conception of Edom Asumno Stark Mishnech, who's a Bezdin dummy, than the other Rishonim. Right? The Rambam thinks Edom Asumno Stark Mishnech, who do some Bezdin dummy if there's no Reyesa. But if there is a Reyesa, then it's not commission after he do son Bezdin dummy, right? That's ultimately how it comes out, right? What does that mean,
Rebbe? Couldn't he be holding like the Balaam, or that the star only has the dim star if it's in the hands of the Lakuach? And here you have a problem. The problem is you don't know if the Isha got it kedim.
So
you have to reut on that assumption.
In which case, what you're saying is that it is not.
That's why it's weaker. That's why.
You're right. I was going there, but maybe I was going there in an indirect way, and I should have just gone to there directly. But you know what? Okay, let's take it one step at a time. Says the Beit Shmuel, right, says the Beis Shmuel that, excuse me, that this is b'makom error when there's a reyasa, the Rambam doesn't hold mishnechri reduzim bez dami. Only minastam it's mishnechri reduzim bez dami. When there's a reyasa, it's not mishnechri reduzim bez dami. And says the Beis Shmuel, one reyasa is error, and another reyasa is rishus. When there's rishus, that's as big a reyasa as error. So equals that the makom error not error. I mean makom reyasa. Error is an example of a reyasa. The makom reyasa. Sarakiyam in Torah, and one reyasa is irur habaal, and another reyasa is rishus.
So okay. If they do, Rebbe. So if it's because of rishus, and then afterwards there's kiyum done, is the get batal completely and has to be redone?
No, that's exactly what the Kesef Mishnah Magid Mishnah answer to the right.
I know, but what is the Shmuel doing? How is the Beis Shmuel working it?
No, then you've taken away the Reyesa. There was a Reyesa and you eliminated the Reyesa. Oh, Reno, sorry. What I mean to say is that the cloud of Kemishnechmidus and Bezin Dami that we automatically assume that it's kosher, that's only if there's no Reyesa. There is a Reyesa where we still think of it's kosher. But if we prove it's kosher, we've proven it. It means when there's a Reyesa, we're misupping whether it's kosher. But if you bring Kiyom, then you've proven it's kosher. That's fine. Proof is always valuable. It's always useful.
So you're never taking the words get botel as an absolute. You're
that's
adding...
exactly what, it's not me, that's exactly what the Magid Mishnah and Kesef Mishnah say back to the Rambam. They say, we don't mean but, the Rambam never meant eino get as an absolute. He meant eino get unless you bring kiyum. And now, you could disagree with them, but you could disagree with them, but I'm not going to disagree with them because, you know, I have to jump through too many hoops and I don't think there's a good defensible way to disagree with the Magid Mishnah Kesef Mishnah. I'm going to say, ain't no get unless you bring Q. Okay, now, what Joel suggests, though, is, by the way, out of this would come a big chiddush. Out of this would come a big chiddush. By the way, this is a little similar to what the Pnei Avinu Yeshua says. He just says it a little differently. He says, when do we assume that Kemishnechri Reduzim Bezin Dami? Because the assumption is that a person would never, it's a strong umm that a person would never forge a shtar. Because they wouldn't want to get caught, etc. But a big Russia, who we suspect would forge a shtar, then there's no basis for thinking that it's okay, and there's no Kemishnechri Reduzim Bezin Dami. Okay, again, very similar direction. However, what comes out of this is a big chiddush, by the way. What's the big chiddush? The big chiddush is that in Dini Mamonos, let's say I have a shtar that says Aaron owes me a million shekel. I only need kiyum midrabanan, right? Because midaraisa kmishnechri yuzim bezin tami. If I have a shtar, but if a Russia has a shtar that Aaron owes me a million shekel, that needs kiyum midaraisa. Right? According to this, it's not only gittin. Anytime a Russia is holding a shtar, I know Joel's going to not have this drawback. Anytime a Russia is holding a shtar, according to this, it needs kiyum midaraisa. That already is a big, I think it's inescapable. If you take this direction of the second shot of the Beis Shmuel and the Pnei Yeshua, then anytime there's a sichsuch in Dini Mamonos between two people, and one of them's a Goslin, and the Goslin has a shtar, of course, a Goslin has rights in court. We don't discriminate based on criminal record, right? We eliminate the box, but not legamri. If a Goslin comes to court with a shtar, that shtar needs kiyum midaraisa. The downside is that should have appeared someplace in halacha. After all, aid is not sedayif, kim shtaris to somebody grew up on it. Maybe someone should have said someplace, but for a Russia, aid is not nasadayim because the kiyum is daraisa. Okay, there are ways to answer that question. It's not the end of the world. I'm saying a big chiddush comes out of that because it's not only about the shliach, as Joel pointed out. The Beis Shmuel and Pnei Yeshua are not saying something unique about a shliach as opposed to a baldover, right? So this is the who's talking here? Beis Shmuel Peirush B. And the Pnei Yoshua is similar to that. Okay, he doesn't connect the Rambam exactly, which he does say, but it's a similar direction. According to this, any Russia who holds a shtar, Rish Lakish's rule doesn't apply to. Rish Lakish's rule only applies to Beinanim, who have a shtar, and Tzaddikim, who have a shtar, not to Rishon, who have a shtar. Okay, could be. It's a big Kiddush, but it could be. What does Joel want to say? Joel wants to say a little better. Joel, who's to say better or worse? Joel wants to say a different way. No, a different shot in the Rambam. What's the different shot in the Rambam? When does Rish... But it's going to be subtle. You have to figure out if this is really going to work or not. Right? It's not so pashut. But what does Joel want to say? When do we say Edom of Sunnah Zakim Shenechu Yudis of Bezdin Dummy? That's part of the unique magic, quote unquote, of Chalosh Shtar referred to Rav Chaim. And that's only true. What makes a star, says the Rav, based on Rav Chaim, Tfisas Baldover. Only when the Baldover is holding the star do we say Midoraisi Mishnechu Yudis of Bezdin Dummy. So if the Baldover is a Russia, we would still say Mishnechu Yudis of Bezdin Dummy. But if a Shliach is holding the star, who says whether a Shliach counts as Tfisas Balashtar or not? Maybe yes, because you're a shliach of someone, or maybe no, because he's not really a balashtar. So maybe, Dafka, when the shliach's holding it, we're more suspicious than when the baldover is holding it. If the shliach's holding it, then we don't say Rish Lakish. If the baldover is holding it, then we do say Rish Lakish. The problem is that, Joel, is that what you're trying to say?
Something like that, okay.
Okay, no, maybe you're trying to say better, because the problem with what you're saying is Daf Gimel and Aleph. If a shliach brings it from Medinas Hayam, the Gemara says Rish Lakish applies. Edom Achzor Mel Shach Mishnech Reduce and Vezin Dummy. Oh, it's in the hands of the shliach. So we see Rish Lakish applies even when it's in the hands of the shliach. And if Joel's going to answer, no, what he means is after the shliach gives it to her, Rish Lakish will apply. Then here also, after the Rashi gives it to her, Rish Lakish will apply.
No, so, but it's still very. But you still have the assumption when she's holding it is that she got it kiddin, and here you can't make that assumption because she got it by, you know that she got it via a Russia.
Aha. So meaning when she's holding it in a way that seems to be kiddasu kiddin, after all, like Daf Gimel, I understand an Eid Echad gave it to her, but that's the normal, regular way for things to happen, and it all seems legitimate to a neutral observer would assume it's legitimate. When she got a kedasu kedin, then you say the din of Rish Lakish. However, when the reyes is started, Daf Gimel, there's no reyesa. It's just that, you know, we have no absolute proof one way or the other, but it certainly seems like a perfectly good star. Okay, so that's what Joel is saying. It depends when the reyesa appears. If the reyesa appear, if she's holding it without it, let's say better. The din of Rish Lakish only applies when it gets into the hands of the Baldover in a way that seems legitimate. So basically, you're combining, you have to build off the Beis Shmuel, right? Meaning it's because a Russia, you know, has a lack of nemanus. When she only got it from a Russia, when she only got it from someone with no nemanus, then you can't say Commission Efkari do some Vezdin Dummy because there was a Reyes already when she got it. However, if she got it from an Eid Echad, well, it seemed very legitimate, it's just not the normal standards of proof, then we say that that's exactly the rule of Rish Lakish. Something seems legitimate. When something seems legitimate, even though it doesn't have other proofs, this star is a proof. When it seems illegitimate, Vachila, no. So let's say...
Rabbi, isn't that the assumption of the Ramban and the Ran when they're trying to explain that Rabbi Lazar also holds, like Rabbi Meir, the Lady Hasima Karati, that Anan Sadi that she got the get kiddin.
That's Ramban doesn't hold like that.
Correct. So
Ramban doesn't hold like that. Maybe.
Doesn't hold like that.
Okay.
Ramban holds that Rabbi Lazar holds.
The Maisa, what is? What is Joel saying? Joel's saying, no, it's not that whenever we're dealing with a Russia, we don't apply the rule of Rish Lakish. No, once it's in the hands of the Baal Ashtar, and we have no, once it got into the hands of Baal Ashtar in a legitimate seeming way, or at least without a Reyesa, even the Baal Ashtar is a Russia, then we apply the rule of Reish Lakish. But when it's not in the hand of the Baal Shtar, says Joel, see, right, okay, I'll have to make another double secret passage. It has one entrance and two exits. He says, no. That the real din of Reish Lakish, the din Reish Lakish, only kicks in when there is Tfisas Baal Shtar, and it could be even the Baal Shtar is a Rasha. The din of Reish Lakish would still kick in, but here, since the suspicion, unlike Daf Gimel, there's no suspicion. Since the suspicion occurs before Tfisas Baal Shtar, then the din of Reish Lakish doesn't apply. Okay, very good. Shkoyach Joel. Okay, so now that is pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam has a big chiddush here. And let's just review what we said until now, and then we'll take it and say something chiddush. Yeah, please. We said the Rambam, number one, the Rambam has a general mahalach that the other Rishonim don't love, as Shmuel Goldberg says. Some of them seem to tolerate it by only nitpicking. But the Rambam's general mahalach that even a regular shliach l'halacha, even an Eretz Yisrael without planning b'nechtam, needs to be a kosher aid, is serving as an aid, which has no precedent in Shas. And we answered it does have precedent in Shas. The precedent in Shas is what Abaye would say back to Rebbe Yosef. What's it need to be made about? So that depends how you read the Rambam. According to the Pnei Yeshua, Mishal Melech's way of reading the Rambam, it needs to be made about two things. Midrabbana needs to be made that he on his Mino Shlifas. Even though Midaraisa, the other 90%, he's okay. And Midaraisa, he needs to be made on the authenticity of the signatures. According to the Radvaz, it's only that Midaraisa needs to be made on the authenticity of the signatures. And by the Yemekoyim, it's only Gzeira Atu, not a real substantive concern. Okay, why does it need to be made on the authenticity of the signatures? What about the Din of Reish Lakish? So we have three answers to get out of the Din of Reish Lakish. One is that the Rambam Lishitase, like the Tzos against the Rav Chaim, that there's actually no such thing as a Dushtar. Midaraisa, even in a Shtar Kenyan, even in a Get, it's only Afkinu, and if it's only Afkinu, when you did things in a way that thumbs your nose at the Sams of the Rabbanan, they didn't make Afkinu for you. But in second derech, the Rambam Lishitase in Perek Zion, when do we say Reish Lakish only when there's no Reisa? But if there is a Reisa, then we don't say the Din of Reish Lakish. Third derech, what Joel pointed out, when do we say the Din of Reish Lakish when there's Tfisas Baal Shtar? But if the Reisa appears before the Tfisas Baal Shtar, then already we're Kovea, that we're Masufik about this Midaraisa, then the Din of Reish Lakish doesn't apply. Now, great. Now we're ready to go on to the next part of the Sugya. So I'm going to erase the board and discuss a funny case of, I wouldn't call it shlichus lo holacha, but I would call it holacha. Right? The funny case of holacha.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Why don't those three answers, why do you feel that you have that to accept the Magid Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah's limitation on the Rambam and Singin, basically not much different than the Right, but the three, why don't the three answers work even if you say no get, that means that the get is pasul midoraisa?
They do. The Magid Mishnah and Kesef Mishnah admit that it's pasul midoraisa. They just say it's pasul midoraisa misafe because you never know what'll happen.
Right, but why say misafe? The Rambam means that it's pasul midoraisa.
Okay, good question.
The three arguments seem to hold even in that case.
Aha. Okay, so here's the, you're right. Here's the subtlety. It's not the really what Abe is saying. If it's a psul daraisa in the signatures, you have no edus. If you have no edus, cheskasayshus ish, it's vaday pasul midaraisa. So why are the Kesef Mishnah and Magid Mishnah giving in to the Ravid? They're giving it to the Ravid because they're saying ein hanami, it's vaday pasul midaraisa. But you never know what's the nafkamina being vaday pasul midaraisa. The nafkamina being vaday pasul midaraisa is that if someone else mekadesh her, the Kiddushin are batel. But they said you can't count on someone else being Mekadosh or in the Kiddushin being batel. Because what if Edom show up to him kind of the signatures later? Then retroactively, it'll be kosher midoraisa. So I think their concern is very technical. It's not really that they're arguing whether, meaning, I don't know what they're writing. Here, okay, you're right. I didn't want to get into this detail. But now that Abe pointed it out, and maybe I was wrong, let me point out there are two ways of reading the Ravid. One way of reading the Ravid is that the Ravid's saying, why are you saying that one way of reading the Ravid is saying, why are you saying it's Vadai Batal Midoraisa? It should be a suffix. And it should be a suffix. And that's not what really bothers the Magen Mishnah Kesef Mishnah, because as Abe points out, no, it should be a Vadai. If you have no Eidos, it's Cheskes Eishus Ish. That's Vadai Eishus Ish. The way the Magen Mishnah Kesef Mishnah, I think, are reading the Ravid is, he's not saying, why is it a Psal Vadai, it's only Psal Suffolk. He's saying, why are you relying the cool on it being a Psal Vadai? After all, if next week someone comes to you and kind of the signatures, you're going to get messed up. And shouldn't you be concerned that tomorrow someone will kind of the signatures and you don't want to get messed up? And then they answer, in a Hanami, the Rambam really agrees with you. So I think they understand the Ravid is not fundamentally saying, why is it a Vadai Psal should only be a Suffolk Psal? They understand the Ravid is saying, I admit it's a Vadai Psal. But still, don't we have to take into account all possible scenarios and be machmir in a way that no matter what happens, we'll still be okay? And then the answer, in a Hanami. If the Rav is arguing in the Rambam, not on more technically, more fundamentally, Vadai Suffolk, not like the way the Mefarshim understood, Nosei Kelim understood him, then it's a fascinating question. Why did the Rav think it's a Suffolk Psal, and the Rambam thinks it's a... And the Rambam thinks it's a Vadai Psal? After all, either there's Eidos or no Eidos. And if there is Eidos, then it's Vadai Kosher. If there's no Eidos, it's Vadai Pasul Cheskes Eishus Ish. So where is the Ravid coming from? It's a great question. I'm not even 100% sure, which is maybe why the Nosei Kelim understood the Ravid was not saying, I disagree and holds the Suffolk Psal. He was just saying, you're right, it's a Vadai Psal, but it's always the rebuttable Vadai Psal, because tomorrow someone can come and kind the signatures. So shouldn't you always have to be Machmir just in case that happens? Okay, now let's go to the other interesting question, which is, the Minhag Ashkenaz, that a Gon who, by the way, I think this is, we're not sure what this Gon's name was, right? And everyone quotes him a little differently. Rav Haninoi Gon, Rav Chinna Gon, Rav Hanina Gon, whoever he was, let's call him Rav Haninoi Gon, that's at least part of yours in the Bahag. I'm pretty sure this is the only place he's quoted. But it was in Kala Rabasi, right? It was in the big, I don't know, what do we call it nowadays? The big convention, right? The big convention. The Knesset Gedolah of Agudas Yisrael. In the Knesset Gedolah of Agudas Yisrael, said Rav Chani Noigon, he was asked the following shayla. Avad Agoy is possible Allah Hasaget. That's Mefurish, right? That's straight out the Mishnah of Gimel and Aleph. But how about asking Goy to deliver the get to the Shliach Lahalacha? Can you ask a guy to deliver the get to the Shliach Lahalacha? And then a Jew will give the get. So here's the interesting question, right? Here's the interesting question. All right, how about the Baal gives the get to a guy? The guy gives the get to the Shliach HaBaal, and the Shliach HaBaal gives the get to the Isha. The Mice and Asina seems glot kosher. A Jewish shliach is giving the get to the Isha. But in between, there's Yad Akum Be'emtza. Right? I know we mentioned this once, but we didn't really analyze it. So what's the psak? There are a few shitas. Conceptually, there are two shitas. Says Rav Chani Noigon. He says it's puzzle. Puzzle because you used a guy. You have to give it to a Jew, not a guy. You have to give it to a shliach, not a guy. That's Rav Chani Noigon. There are two different reasons people argue on Rav Chani Noigon. One is the Bahag / Itter. And the Rashba quotes the Bahag and seems to agree with him. Right? Two ways to disagree. One way to disagree is the Bahag. Why do I say Bahag / Itter? Because they both disagreed for the same reason. But the Bahag says this is only a heter on the level of Nisei Slotetze. I mean, I'm machner from Chani Noigon the good as possible, but if she remarried, it's okay. And the Iter says, Ma Patom. If we reject Rav Chanina Igon, then the Sefer Iter quotes the Bahag, and then says, No, Niskar Shatina Simchat Chila. So what's the difference between the Bahag and the Iter? The Bahag says, in Nises, Lo Tetze, the Sefer Iter says, in Nisgarsha, Tinasim Chachila. Notice, both of them agree L'chachila, it's not a good thing to do. The question is just, how v'di'evit do you have to get to come up with the kula? Bahag says, L'chachila don't do it, only if you're already remarried, Bermekel. And the Sefer Iter says, L'chachila don't do it, but once you gave the get, it's okay. Okay, but I'm not going to distinguish the Iter and the Bahag here, because they're just arguing about, like, Ahachro's, Zahirus. They both agree that L'chachila were koshish for Chaninoigon. They both agree that really they were not. They just argue, like, how much of a Shas Adchak do you need in order to be making the answer Chaninoi Gon? What's the Svara? I'm more interested in the Svara. Not, you know, whether they're Mekel B'Shas Adchak or B'Shas Adchak Gonel. Or maybe they're Mekel B'Di'evit or B'Shas Adchak, rather. What's the Svara? Right? What's the Svara? The Bahag and the Iter, basically, they're both Machshir. They just argue, are we Machshir with a kvetch or with three kvetches? Right, but they're both Machshir. What's the Svara?
Because?
Because of the Gemara,
right?
Andaf, exactly, because of the Gemara earlier, Andaf Yudam and Beis. What does the Gemara say in Daf Yudam and Beis? Exactly, a get that was the get was in the Erko Shel Akum. Rav Shimon says, again, Erko Shel Akum with Chos Me'akum is kosher. Hak Rav Shimon Me'achshir a get with Chos Me'akum? The answer is, because he held like regular laws, that Eidei Masira Karsi, and there were Jewish Eidei Masira. So what do they say? He's Me'achshir because, Kaimalon, like regular laws, Lachain Kaimalon, not Rashi, but Rav Shimon on Daf Yudam and Beis, that get Shechosmav Akum Asher Al Yedei Eidei Mesira Yisrael. And remember, everyone was asking why it's not a problem with Mezuyish Mitocho, and the mainstream answer was that Mezuyish Mitocho is exerted to run for confusion, and over here no one's going to get confused because everyone knows that a guy can't be an aid. Okay, now.
Rabbi, are you calling the Rabbanan the Hashta the Bahag?
I'm calling Rabbanan the Hashta the Bahag. Why? Because the Bahag says, Rav Chanina Igon says this, but nowadays the rabbis paskin otherwise. He's obviously endorsing the
Rabbanan the Hashta. The Aruch HaShulchan seemed to think he agrees with Rav Chanina Igon, and I don't know why. He tried to prove Rav Chanina Igon Gaon's Shita based on what the Bahag says in the continuation.
No, so I think based on how the Bahag reacted to Rav Chaninoi Gaon, he's proving his Shita. But I don't think the Rabban the Hash is Rav Chaninoi Gaon. I really don't think so. Rabban the Hash means after Rav Chaninoi Gaon. Okay. Anyway, that's why they disagree. They disagree because of this Rabbi Elazar and Rav Shimon thing. Okay. Who's the other Rishon who disagrees for a different reason?
The Rush?
The Rush. The Rush Machshir, and he's Machshir even L'chatchila. Okay, could be the Bahag and the Iter have this diuk of the get with the Akom. It doesn't sound so l'chachila, they're not so gung-ho. The Rush says, why do I disagree with Chaninoi Gon? Because we're Chaninoi Gon saying shtuyot. So he's machshir even l'chachila. And he even says, Maisim chol yom menig Ashkenaz is to send with a goyish mailman the get to a shleich l'halacha. Why is the Rush machshir even l'chachila? Because,
of shlichus.
Because Maisikov bialma. Right? He's Machshir Achila because he says, well, I'm not, what, I have to go to like Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir and make it a machlokes tanoim and have to write from a sugya. He says, I'm Machshir totally l'chachila. Ma'isim b'chol yom against Rabbi Chaninoi Gon, because Rabbi Chaninoi Gon's crazy. Right? What does the Rush say? The Rush is Machshir because the guy is doing Meaning the husband appoints a shliach, the shliach gives it to the wife, and he says, like, who cares how it got from the husband to the shliach? The husband appoints a shliach, the shliach gives it to the wife. What did the guy have to do with anything? He's like, I don't understand what Rechayim and Agron's talking about. Right? Well, the guy's irrelevant. I don't understand. Let's say the husband put the get in his dresser and then told the shliach l'alacha, give the get to my wife. So you say, well, the dresser is not a Jew, not kosher, the shliach, whatever. Like, who cares where it was in between? As long as the husband appoints a shliach and the shliach gives it to the wife, then who cares where it was in between? Right? It's very strange. So now let's see how to, now, who is the best svara here? The best svara here, I think, this is obviously semi-subjective opinion. Who am I to be machnas rosh and harim gedolim? I think obviously the rest of the best svara. The husband appoints a shliach l'olacha. The shliach l'olacha gives the get to the wife. Who cares where it was in between? You know, let's say the husband himself gave it to the wife. Let's say the husband gave the guy to a, gave the get to his goyish butler, says, goyish butler, put this get in the safe. Hold it for me. Guard it with your life. Bring it back to me in 3 days. The goyish butler brings it back to him in 3 days. He gives it to his wife. So is there any problem that was the hands of the guy in between? No, and shliach l'olacha come also. The husband put in the hands of a guy, and then it's in the hands of the shliach who's like the husband, and now the shliach who's like the husband is divorcing the wife. What could the problem possibly be?
Maybe according to the Rav, it would be, though.
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
The Rav has that the whole process has to be one continuous process. So if there's a guy in the middle, it gets messed up.
Give me a second. The simple svar is like the rush. Now the question is, what was Rav Chani Noigon talking about? What was the svar of Rav Chani Noigon? So there are some shatim. What was the svar of Rav Chani Noigon? What were different shatim? What was the svar of Rav Chani Noigon? Right, what's the svara? Now the truth is, Rav Chani Noigon says his svara. Right? He says, "Vav Rabbanu Kamei Rav Chani Noigon Bekala Rabasi." For some reason, in the Bar Ilan, it's Bekala Rabasi, but it's obviously Kala Rabasi. He has to give it to a shliach Yisrael, a guy called, he can't give it to a guy. The husband has to give it to the wife or to a shliach the Kabbalah. Okay, and then Rabbanan the Hashta say differently than the Rabban in the days of Rav Chani Noigon. Okay, it's the rabbi in the days of Rav Chani Noigon, the rabbis in the days of the Mahak. Okay, but he doesn't totally explain Alpilumdus, like what exactly is wrong with it. After all, why does the husband have to give it not to a goy but to a proper shliach, etc.? Why isn't enough the shliach doesn't have seen on behalf of the husband? So here we're not sure what the svara of Rav Chani Noigon is. And Lemaisa, the Rishonim and Achronim have different ideas about what his svara is, and some of those ideas require Okimtas. The Achronim, in general, how do the Achronim understand the svara, the classic Achronim understand the svara of Rav Chani Noigon? How do the classic Achronim understand the svara of Rav Chani Noigon?
Because you mean the Tuligite Chmogabe Karka? I don't know what you're referring to.
No. Okay. Okay. It's not fair.
No, he basically told the guy to sort imply that he's the shliach.
He basically told the guy, but the truth is, but so as long as he also tells the Jew he's the shliach, who cares if he tells the guy he's the shliach?
No, he hurt anyone. It depends. Is he telling the guy, is he telling the guy here, you're not, just deliver this for me over to that guy.
So good. So Morty says, what's the problem? The problem is, right, one is, let's take the Ramah. How does the Ramah understand Rav Chani Noigon? The Ramah, he doesn't say I'm being mefarish the Bahag or anything, but the Shulchan Aruch says that it's fine, because the Maisa Kof B'Alma. The Shulchan Aruch fasts like the Rush. And says the Ramah, Mihu Yesh Cholkin Esfir Lahu, what do the Yesh Cholkim hold? Notice how he rephrases the Rav Chani Noigon. It's not Minagashkanas anymore. Says the Ramah, what's the problem? The problem is that the Baal lo mina HaYisrael Shliach. The husband never appointed the Yisrael Shliach. That's the problem. If the husband had appointed the Yisrael Shliach, that would be fine. But the husband never appointed the Yisrael as a Shliach. He only appointed the guy as a Shliach. And you know who appointed the Yisrael as a Shliach? The guy appointed the Yisrael as a Shliach. Ella, Hagoy, Mina es HaYisrael, Shliach bin Komo. Ah, but that's not true. Didn't. But why didn't the husband just appoint the other Yisrael as a Shliach? So you have to make it. So what does the Ramah say? Right? Says the Ramah, and here's this difference between the Ramah and the Aruch HaShulchan. Says everyone else disagreed. Everyone else messed it up. Says the Ramah, Afal Gav, Dikosav, LiYisrael. Right? What's the case? He writes a letter to the Jew. He sends again with a letter to the Jew. Please give this on my behalf. Kasav LiYisrael, Sheminahu Shliach. Right? What does the Ramah says? What the real sheet of Rechani Noigon? That you can't have Mina Shlichas Biksav. Mina Shlichas Biksav Lo Mahani. Rav Chani Noigon has a tremendous chiddush. His chiddush is not with Goyim. His chiddush is Lukashlan Pemosha requires verbal Minoi, not written Minoi. That's how the Ramah reads Rav Chani Noigon. What's the machloksim Rav Chani Noigon in the Rush? The Rush says, Ksav is a written Minoi is Minoi. The Jew is Mamana, his friend. The guy is a cult Bialma. And Rav Chani Noigon says no. They have a very technical machlokes about Dine Shlichos. Rav Chani Noigon says you have to appoint a shlichos verbally. And the Rush says you can appoint a shlich miksav. And then Taka, Rav Chani Noigon's right. If you grant him his assumption that you can't appoint a shlich miksav, I'm sending the end of the mail to someone 3,000 miles away. I obviously can't talk to him. I can only appoint a miksav. And appointing a miksav is not a valid appointment, so I never made him a shlich. Who made him a shlich? The guy made him a shlich. But then it's a problem, so the guy's not a shliach. That's the Ramah. If you look in that long Pesach Tshuva there, he deals with the question of, hold on, why can't the Jew, the husband, just be memaneh the guy verbally? Let him go to in front of his friends, to Edom or Bezdim, whatever, and say, I hereby appoint Ploni 3,000 miles away to be my shliach to receive the get. And let him write, please deliver this get for me. I appointed you verbally in my hometown. Okay, so either make the Okimta in the days of Rechani Noigon when they didn't think of that, but if they had thought it would work, or you have to say that you can't do Minor Shlicha Shlo Befanav, and that Minor Shlicha only works if you're Befanav. Okay, so somehow you have to say, why couldn't they just be Mamanim verbally in their hometown? Either they could, but they didn't, or no, a very big Kiddush. Minor Shlicha needs to be Mamish, intimate personal connection. The Aruch HaShulchan says,
relative to today's situation, is Minui Shliach by a telephone?
By a telephone, or for that matter,
same as by Davening.
Right, or by Zoom, even better. Halacha Lemaisa, we assume that you can be Mana, it's a Mefur Shulchan Aruch, and that's Simon, that you can be Mana, a Shliach verbally Shalom Befanav. So it's no problem. I mean, I can make more to your shliach, even if we're not on Zoom, by just saying to everyone in this room, I'm appointing more to your shliach. And someday a guy will inform you, and that'll be good enough. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, he makes a different okimta. Meaning, what's the okimta of the Ramah? The okimta of the Ramah, l'chor, is that he didn't appoint it verbally. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, he makes an okimta. The okimta is Ro Mina et HaYisrael Beferush Klal Afilu Biksav. No, he makes it okimta. I mean, it's a little funny. The days were Chani Noigon, and why didn't they just appoint the Yisrael? No, they didn't appoint the Yisrael at all. They just gave it to a guy to bring to the Yisrael. And then it makes sense. It's possible because they never made the Jewish Shliach. Who made the Jewish Shliach? The guy made him a Shliach. The guy can't be a Shliach. So what does the Rush say? The Rush says, no, it's an umdana that he meant to be a man him a Shliach. Looks for Chani Noigon and the Rush. Is that the Rush says it's obvious he meant to appoint him a shliach, and that counts. The Rush says he can appoint him a shliach through an umdana of implication. And Rav Chani Noigon says, no, if he didn't appoint him a shliach explicitly, it doesn't count. Okay, so it's technicalities in Minui Shliach. Joel wants to say it a different way. What does Joel wants to say? A different shot of Rav Chanina Noigon, right? And this is, Joel says, the, excuse me. One second. Give me half a second. Okay. And this is what we suggested in the last year, I think, or 2 years ago, whatever exactly it was, in the course of that discussion. Maybe you could say, and the Rav does have this idea, that the Rav Chanina Noigon is actually a big fish. According to the Ramban, the Orach HaShulchan, Rav Chanina Noigon is just a technical stupidity that the Baal didn't do the Minoy properly. But maybe it is a big fish in Lamdas. What's the big fish in Lamdas of Rav Chanina Noigon? Is that you think the husband can make a shliach, and remember we tied this into that Avni Miluim, you think the husband can make a shliach to Nusinus again on his behalf, and Taka, it does sound like that from all over Shas, just to be fair, from all over Shas, it sounds like he can make a shliach to Nusinus on his behalf without any involvement on his part. No, maybe, and I'm saying you're going to find all over, not over Shas, just a little second, it's getting cautious on this, but maybe you could say that It's that the husband has to do the Nesina himself. The husband can't make a shliach through the Nesina. The Nesina has to be personal. Get is more personal than Dini Mamonos. In Dini Mamonos, I could just say, you're my CEO, you're my apotropis, whatever, just do everything from soup to nuts, beginning to end. But in Gittin, you need the husband to be more involved. So maybe you could say a big chiddush. You could say that you cannot have a shliach do the nesinas get on your behalf. The husband has to give the get himself. Oh, how do shlichas work? No, as long as he starts the nesina, the shliach can continue the nesina. And this is what they quote, that some of the achronim say, the reason for Rav Chanina Noigon is kli getach miyagavi karka. What is kli getach miyagavi karka? The husband puts it down, the wife picks it up. There's no nesina. Here there's no nesina. Why is there no nesina? The Yisrael did nesina on his behalf? No. Shlichas is not enough. Right? Shlichas does not work for Nesina Saget. Oh, that's not true. We know it does work. No, the Baal needs to do the Nesina, and a Shliach can just continue the Nesina to avoid the problem of Fligitav Yabe Karka. The Baal needs to do the Nesina. So if a Baal gives it to a Jewish Shliach, the Baal started the Nesina and then the Shliach continued the Nesina. But if the Baal gives it to a guy, then the Baal started the Nesina and now the Baal's Nesina ended because the guy can't continue it. Now that the Jewish Shliach is doing a new Nesina. The Jewish Shliach can't do a new Nesina on his own. Only the Baal can do the Nesina. The problem is there's many kashas against this, but that would be a very radical way. This is a big finish. They're cautious against it. Really, Yesh L'ayin Harvey. But that's really what it sounds more for maybe the Pshat Lashon of Rav Chanina Noigon. The Baal needs to give it directly to the wife or through an intermediary. But he's like emphasizing it needs to come from the Baal. Okay, that's a tremendous finish. Now, before we get to three, we have to deal with Iran.
So, Rebbe, why does the Gaon emphasize this thing that it's a tuf bebeged? Somehow that the Goy shouldn't know about it? If he knows what's there, then that will generate an additional problem?
That is a great question. I'm not sure. I saw that maybe the Orach HaShulchan picks up on this. Someone picks up on this. I don't remember exactly, you know, if there was a good explanation. I don't have a great explanation why he emphasizes the fact that it's like, we would call it a sealed envelope, right? Why he emphasizes the fact that it's in a sealed envelope, what difference it makes if it's a sealed envelope or not, is very unclear to me. But Ke'ilu, if it wasn't in a sealed envelope, that would be worse. Or it would be better. Hard to imagine.
It would be better. Either way, I don't know.
It would be better if it wasn't in a sealed envelope. I don't know. I'm going to say, and you're going to, you don't have to be satisfied with it. You can go home and figure out something else. But I'm going to say, Lav Davka, that was just the way people normally sent letters. You know, who wanted to send letters for everyone to read? Everyone sent letters in sealed envelopes.
But he's using a phrase, atuf bebeged. If it's in an envelope, something else. What does it mean in a beged?
But I mean, that... I just think that they didn't have envelopes in those days, so you put in a piece of cloth. Okay, I'm not making a big deal of it. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm not. Okay, now, the Ron asks the most obvious kasha in the world. Ask the Ron, and I hope you guys have an answer to the Ron's kasha. The Ron asks, I hope by now you have an answer to the Ron's kasha. Asks the Ron, my shaite, the Rav Shimon, where he loves Ulahacha. Ask the Ron, I understand, maybe I do, maybe I don't understand Rav Chaninoi going. He said what he said. He's a goon. He said what he said. We have to react. He said, maybe the Ron would say, if you would have objected for the Russia's reason, maybe I would understand what you were saying. But the Ron says, what's done this Bahag? The Itter likes the Bahag. The Rashba likes the Bahag. Why do all these people like the Bahag? What does one thing have to do with another? I don't understand. In the Yudam Beis, there's a question. The Eidah Hasim are apostle because they're going. And the answer is, but since we all like Rabbi Elazar, then you can use Eidah Masira. It's okay if you don't have Eidah Hasim, because you have Eidah Masira. What does that have anything to do with what we're talking about? Like, what is the Bahag saying? If we held like Rabbi Meir, you'd be right. But since we hold like Rabbi Elazar, you're wrong. What does one thing have to do with another? The fact that we hold Eidah Masira Karsi versus Eidah Hasima Karsi, how does that have anything to do with the case of a guy who's a mailman who delivers a get? The guy's not an aid of any sort. No Eidah Hasima, no Eidah Masira, right? What does one thing have to do with the other? It's very strange. Okay, so you've all had time to prepare. How do you answer the Ron's kasha and the Bahag? And when you first read this Bahag, you shouldn't have to get to the Ron. You shouldn't have to get to the Ron. When you first read this Bahag, you should say, okay, Rav Chanin Oigon says something. I have to figure out that Svara. That's a finish already. And then the Bahag is bringing up something that sort of looks vaguely similar. There it was Goyish Eidi Hasima, but the Jewish Eidi Masira saved it. Here it's a Goyish mailman, but the Jewish Shliach Lehola Lenesina saves it. Like, what does one thing have to do with the other? What does that have to do with Eidi Masira and Eidi Hasim and Rabbi Lazar and Meir? And what's the Lashon of the Bahag? Came and the Kaimel and Rabbi Lazar, like it's really about Rabbi Lazar. And the Itter says, well, since we all like Rabbi Lazar L'chadchila, then it's even Motul L'chadchila. But what does that have to do with Rabbi Lazar? What is the Bahag talking about? It's such a mystery. So how do you defend the Bahag against the Ron?
Yeah. Okay. So even though there's a Goyesha intermediary, it's discounted.
I understand. You just read me the Carbon Asano, but that's not a Svar.
That's what you assigned.
No. Okay. From now on, I'm making a Modah in front of a Bezdin of Zoom.
Uh-oh.
Every time I give a Makor sheet, the first assignment on the Makor sheet before all the letters start is think. You're assigned these Makoros and to think. From now on, I've made a Modah. You always have to read the Makoros and think. So I understand what the Carbon Asano says, but what does he mean? What does it mean? So, whatever, if you want, someone could say something that I don't like, but if not, I'll only say what I like. It's very, very strange. And no one answers the Ron's kasha. The truth is, I'm sure in the Masifta someone answers the Ron's kasha. But I didn't work in the Masifta. So, what's the answer to the Ron's kasha? Ma'in yin shmita etzel har Sinai. So, hold on a second. One second, sorry. All right, let's hope the battery lasts. For some reason, it's not plugging in. Okay. How do we answer the Ron's kasha? What does it have to do with Eidah Masira and Eidah Hasima? We're not talking about, that is about Eidah Hasima and Eidah Masira. The Eidah Hasima were Goyim, the Eidah Masira were Jews, I understand. It depends on the Eidah Hasima karti or Eidah Masira karti, shkayach. But what does this have to do with Eidah Masira karti and Eidah Hasima karti? So I think the only way to understand the Itter and the Bahag and the Rashba, the only way to understand the Bahag with the Imei, is they must have obviously had a totally different way of it. If Rav Chaninoi Gaon was about a technical problem in your Minoi, how does the fact we pass like Rabbi Elazar solve a technical problem in your Shlichus? if he was about this tremendous chiddush about the nature of Nesina, how does what we paskin about Mesira and Chasima have to do with this chiddush about Nesina, which again is dochuk for many reasons anyway, because there are many sugyas that sound like the husband doesn't have to head the gets of shliach malach. You can't have them, but dochuk. So you have to have a new understanding of Chaninoi Goin, and I think the only way to explain the Mahag is to have a new understanding of Chaninoi Goin, and that new understanding of Chaninoi Goin is going to have to tie in everything we discussed in today's shiur. After all, what was the whole point of today's shiur? The whole point of today's shiur was that the shliach l'holacha, and I don't mean necessarily halo shliach l'holacha because you're Jewish and bardas and this and that, the guy carrying the get is connected to Eidos, right? That was the whole point of today's shiur until now. Right? The whole point of the Rambam and Abai is that there is some connection between Eidos and the guy carrying the get, even though we wouldn't have thought so until this morning, or rather until we started the Makoros and we figured this out on our own. And then I thought it for you. There is. We have precedent. We just had an hour and a half of explaining why Eidos and the guy carrying the get are connected and not separate. Maybe the Bahag's not so crazy. How does the Bahag understand Rav Chaninoi Goin? He understands Rav Chaninoi Goin, obviously anachronistically, based on the Rambam. Right? This is obviously how the Bahag understood Rav Chaninoi Goin. How do you understand? You know what the problem was with the Goy bring the Shtar? The problem with the Goy bring the Get is not a problem in Nesina or in Shlichus. It's a problem in Eidos. Why? Because the Shliach L'Holach is an Eid, as we see from Abaye. Abaye, the Rambam wasn't born yet, but they also had this deal from Abaye. Everything starts with the deal from Abaye that I should have looked in the Masechta and found someone who made before I was born. But that I said, and I'm merely echoing and repeating what someone doubtless in the Masechta said many hundreds of years ago, who's a big guy. What is the Mahag? How did Mahag understand him? It's a problem. The problem is in the Eidei Chasima. What's the problem in the Eidei Chasima? That when do we assume that Eidei Machasuma Lashtar Kamisha Nechrei Dusa Bebezdin Dami? When we have a trustworthy kosher person bringing the Shtar. When we have a trustworthy kosher person bringing the Shtar, Eidei Machasuma Lashtar Kamisha Nechrei Dusa Bebezdin Dami. But when we have a Russia Marusha bringing the Shtar, then we don't say that's the Rambam. That's Abaye. Oh, what about a guy? Okay, so not every guy is a Russian Marusha, obviously. Not every guy is a Goslin, obviously. But nonetheless, halachically, a guy has no nemunas. A guy is as bad as a Russian Midoraisa. A guy does not have a cheskas kashrus. So therefore, a goy carrying a get is like the Russia carrying a get. And we already know what the Rambam said about the Russia carrying a get. That if the Russia carries a get, it's possible to a raisa without kiyum. You have to assume Rav Chaninoi Goin is without kiyum. Not crazy. So, says the problem is in the Eidei Chasima, or if you want, you can be chadish that he said it even with kiyum. Because after all, you know, who watches the watchman and who says the signatures on the kiyum are authentic, etc. So maybe they understood the problem is the Eidei Chasima. And it's not a matter of shlichas. I know the halo shlichas by a guy. We don't care who's the halo shlichas. We care who's handing over the get. And he says, just, this is parallel to Shitas HaRambam Bishliach Pasol Machmas Aveira Minatora. And all based on Abaye. If you don't have an Eid Echad, a Neman guy bringing the get, you don't say Eidem Achasim Nostar, Kamisha Nechrei, just a Bezdin Tami. Okay, it could be, Joel will say, if the guy is holding a get on his name that he made a whole business deal with a Jew, then what's in the Tfisa Baal Shtar, that might be different. But, and therefore the same thing, right? If the Shtar is delivered. Delivered, I'm not doing shlichas, is delivered by a Russia or Akum, then we don't assume the chasimos are kosher. We don't assume the chasimos are kosher. We can't rely on the chasimos if it's delivered by an akum. Even if the akum gives it to a Jew, but who cares? The Jew got it from the akum, right? If the Russia would give it to a Russia guy, would that help? No, it came from the Russia. So maybe what is the Baha'i understand? Rav Chanina Noigom was like the Rambam based on Abaye. Rav Chanina Noigom helps a problem with the chasimos. It's a problem with the chasimos. These aren't good chasimos because they're delivered by a guy. So what does the Baha'i say back? Ah, they're not good chasimos. They're delivered by a guy. You know what? That's like if a chasimos were a guy. Not good chasimos delivered by a guy are no worse than chasimos that are guy. Right? If the guy delivers the chasimos, they can't be worse than the guy signing the chasimos. And what do we see? That if you use a demesira, it's okay. And therefore, the Bahag responds, Bahag. Now it's really a parallel. That this is the case of Rabbi Shimon on the Fudim Beis and Eidi Mesira suffice. You're right, there's a chisaron in the Eidi Chasim in this case. Taki, you're right. The Eidi Chasim are problematic because they were delivered by a guy. But it's not a big deal because you can use Eidi Mesira in this case. It has nothing to do with the Shlichos of the Nesina like all the other Pshatim. The Bahag understood it was a problem the Eidi Chasima. And then that only makes sense based on what we explained in the Rambam. Okay, you're going to need to file down perhaps a few loose edges, rough edges here. The question is, was they get Mekoyim or was it not Mekoyim? After all, the Rambam didn't have a problem if it was. The Rambam didn't have a problem if it was Mekoyim. So you have to either say the get was not Mekoyim. That he's only telling you to get that's not Mekoyim, but that's very Mekayimable. It's not Mekoyim, but you can Mekayim it later. Okay, but right now it's not even Chasima Parsi. Or you have to say that the get was Mekoyim, but like the Radvaz, they made a Gzeri even on a get that's Mekoyim, just because you could easily get in trouble to get Shaina Mekoyim. Or you have to be very fancy and say the get was Mekoyim, but that still doesn't help for Eidi Chasima Karsi, because then you're relying on the Kiyom and not the Chasimos. And for Eidi Chasima Karsi, then Eidi Chasimos need to stand on their own. Okay, which is a Chiddush, but it's obvious to me that the only way to understand this Bahag's response to Chanina Noigon is based on everything, the big Chiddush that was the theme of today's shiur, which underlies the Rambam, and I think which all flows from Abaye. Okay, we're not going to go back to the Gemara now. We'll have one more shiur.
Doesn't the Aruch HaShulchan understand him differently?
What?
Doesn't the Aruch HaShulchan understand him differently?
You mean understand the Bahag differently?
This is an idea about the having to know about knowing that the goy is a shaliach or not. Does it seem that the goy was a shaliach?
Ah, so the other way to understand the Bahag's response for Chani Noigon is, tell me if this jives, is that really it's all about zeros of misunderstanding. And what he's saying is that really, the whole problem with Chani Noigon is a gzir of misunderstanding. Since the guy played a role, you might think he was a shliach. And likewise, enough, you have this gzir of misunderstanding. Since the guy marked signed on the shtar, on the get, you might think they're the Edim. But just like we paskin on Daf Yud, that we don't worry about the misunderstanding, we rely on the Edim Asira. Here also, we don't worry about the misunderstanding, and we rely on the shliach Yisrael. That was the other way I kept hinting at, of explaining the Bahag. But that's clearly... I don't think that's clearly not what the Itter says. Understood. The Itter says, well, since we hold that we have Pasalik Rabbi Elazar, even L'chachila, it's Kasher L'chachila. He understood that it Mamish had to do with Pasalik Rabbi Elazar. If it was all about misunderstandings, then what do you mean Pasalik Rabbi Elazar L'chachila? That's when it's not a misunderstanding. That's when there's no signatures and you're just giving it in front of Eidei Mesira. And not only that, even in the Bahag, why is he bringing Rabbi Elazar here? If it's just a matter of, okay, maybe just for Psak. Okay, Shmuel's pointing out that you could have a different way of understanding the Bahag. The Itter clearly didn't understand that way. Shmuel's
both. Yeah, that's Tarek HaShulchan.
Correct. That maybe, if you want, you could say that what the Bahag meant is that Rabbi Chanina was a Gzeira. You might be confused and think the guy was a Shliach, but we see from the fact we pass like Rabbi Shimon that we don't worry about confusion. It's still a little funny, which is, then what does that have to do with, why does he bring Rabbi Elazar? Rav Shimon was following Rabbi Lazar. But if Rav Shimon's main sheet was not Rabbi Lazar, but that we don't worry about confusion, then just going to pass like Rabbi Lazar, how do you know he passed out Rav Shimon? Maybe we're still worried about confusion. So it's still, I think it's very not meduyik in the Bahag, but it's still possible, and that's why I didn't prefer it, but it's still possible. And you know, it's certainly an easier svara, so we'll leave it at that. Okay, there'll be one more shir b'sechus given. We have to finish the parak, and it's Hashem, very exciting. On Monday, we will finish the parak, I guess. Sorry, for now, I don't have the chorus ready yet, but okay, we have to get to the end of the parak with Kumar Rashi Tosos, at least to start. And I'll send out the chorus later, Mirtz Hashem. And then on Tuesday, we'll start Mirtz Hashem Summer's Month. If anyone has any questions, then now is a terrific time to ask. Or if not, I will wish you all a good Shabbos.
In this last shot that you gave, you've put together in the same basket a Russia and a guy. They're different.
They are, obviously, they're different in many ways, but I think the same in many ways as well. Lemaisa in halacha, the agai has no nemanis, and we really don't trust what he does at all, and not only that, in many places in halacha, we're choshe goyim. You know, just looking at the second paragraph of the Zohar, etc. Asher yaminam yamin shav.
But you're good, but if they're lafit tumam, yeah, you could have a case here lafit tumam. You know, the Baal gave in a closed envelope, he gave the guy and he says, give it over to him, and inside he was manana shluya and he did all the good stuff, and you're not choshesh by it's all lafit tumam for this guy.
I hear the taina. Excuse me. I hear the taina. Shouldn't this guy be better off because it's wrapped in a beggar? As Chaim pointed out. And therefore, the stomach's not pulling any shtick, it's just innocent. On the other hand, you know, if I was pulling shtick, I would wrap in the beggar and pretend to be innocent. And Misech Levitumo, we generally assume does not work for Dinim Doraisa, only for Dinim Drabana. Right? I mean, in standard Yoredeida, we don't rely on a Goy Misech Levitumo for Dinim Doraisa. Right? If a Goy is Misech Levitumo, that this meat is kosher, we don't believe him, for example. So I hear your Taina. You might be right. But it's not mochrach because in general we don't believe a guy misiach vitumo on a doraisa level. I mean, maybe the reason is because he could always be pretending to be misiach vitumo.
But over here he's not doing anything. He's just lefitumo. This guy gave me this to give to you.
And that's what he says.
Yeah, all right.
That's what he says. But it could also be that someone did
a nefarious plot. That's not the doraisa.
Someone did a nefarious plot and gave $100 and said, just act very innocently, like this guy told you to bring this to this guy. You know, not so crazy, right? The guy doesn't want a Jew to do that. The Jew says, what? I'm going to be responsible for Ashes Ish for $100 and I'm going to go to hell for $100. But he found the guy and says, here's $100. Just act very innocent and say that Reuven sent this to Shimon. Right? Not Rebbe. Crazy. Same as the guy.
Rebbe, couldn't you say like the Chachmei Ashkenaz, that goyim are really ksherim leidus, they're only possible machmas resha. They're only possible because they're becheskas gazlon.
Correct. And that would be an exact equation. If you assume that the soul of goyim is machmas resha, or even if you assume they're fundamentally possible, but they're also becheskas reshaim, then that would suffice. And there's enough bekoros to assume that goyim are becheskas reshaim. And even if you don't want to say they're becheskas reshaim, they're certainly not becheskas nemanim. You know, there's certainly not the Cheskus Kashrus that we have by Yisrael, etc. But according to that, Avada, then 100%. Of course.
Thank you.
Yes, sure. Okay. Thank you.
Shkoh. Have a great Shabbos, everybody.
Good Shabbos.
I have a question.
Sure.
Going back to the Rambam's Lashon of Ein Get.
Mm-hmm.
It's related to something that Chaim asked. According to the... Maybe the machlokas, the Rambam and the Raivad, is whether in the case when the nolon is chayim aget, whether the mesira of the shaliach is considered a maisin nesinan. In other words, according to the Rambam, since there's no kiyum aget and the whole ne'emonos is based on the shaliach who has no ne'emonos, therefore there's no maisin nesinan. And therefore, even if somebody comes later and is Mekayim again, we need another
Hold on. Even if the guy's Mekayim again and Lemafreya, we believe everything, it was still a pagam in the mice in a sina, because at the time we had no reason to believe him.
That's it.
That's a big chiddush.
The Rambam says I no get.
Right, but the Rambam could just mean ain't no get because we have no eidos and she's becheska seishes ish.
When the Rambam says ain't no get, it usually means that the get has no status midoraisa.
The get has no status midoraisa until it's niskayim.
Well, that's
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But it's a bit kiddish. Like, why is it not a nesina? What you're saying is a nesina that at the time has no evidence that it's a nesina is not considered a nesina, even if later we prove that it is.
Find other places also that you need a new nesina when there was a pagam in the nesina.
Yeah, but in those cases, there was a pagam that you actually left something out, not necessarily a pagam that we just didn't know a certain fact. That still is a chiddush, but I hear your taina. It's a chiddush, but it's possible. I would like to find a precedent. I know we're thinking about daf hey, funny nechta, but everyone mostly gives specific local justifications for that and don't say because a nesina that's not proven at the time is not a nesina. But okay, I would like to have like a close parallel precedent, but I hear it's certainly possible.
Can I ask a quick Avelis question? I'm just curious on the